We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to hour number four of this Tuesday edition of Cook and Joe. Joe on vacation this week. I'm pleased to welcome in now a guy who I've always described as the best manager I've ever been around and one of the top people I've ever had a chance to deal with in sports. Of course, he's Jim Leland. Managed the Tigers are in town to play the Pirates tonight, another team that Jim managed. Jim, good afternoon. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm dodging some raindrops like we all are, so I hope we get it in tonight. But I'm doing great, Ron. How are you?
Well, good. I appreciate you calling, and I want to talk a little baseball at large with you. But let's start with the Pirates in Detroit. I know you follow both teams. You kind of knew this was going to be a rebuilding year for the Tigers, didn't you?
Yeah, there's no question about that. We're going through some real growing pains right now. And, you know, I think, you know, everybody knew it. But I think, you know, when you're in one of these situations, it always turns out people say, well, I knew we were rebuilding, but I didn't think we were that bad. Well, you know, you go through these growing pains, and you got to put up with it. It's not easy for anybody. It's not easy for the skipper, Ron Guidenhire, Al Avila, who's doing a good job trying to put some pieces in the farm system that are eventually going to come up here and hopefully be part of the next championship team. So the growing pains are tough. They're tough for the fans. They're tough for the city. It's just a grueling experience to go through it. I've done that myself on a few occasions, so I know what it's about, and it's not easy.
Jim, how about the Pirates? You look at them. I know you watch them closely. I've said earlier for a while they reminded me of the 89 Pirates, a team you managed at in 88. I think you guys won 85 games and had a lot of excitement going into 89, and I believe you lost Van Slyke, LaValliere. Jim Gott, I think his first appearance, went out for the year, your closer. Man, the Pirates have been hit by some injuries, haven't they?
Yeah, they sure have. You know, I still like them. In fact, I think it was today's your article today. Was your article today about the Pirates?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I read your article today, and, you know, I got the point of it. However, I think, you know, and just reading, I think it's a little too early, I think, to, you know, to start selling off. I'm one guy that believes in the Pirates a little bit, and I'll tell you why I do. For a couple of points that you made in your article. Williams is coming back. He's a very good pitcher. And the other thing I like the most is you made a point in your article today about Feliz maybe being the best closer in baseball. I don't disagree with that. In fact, I agree. So when they have those games, they got a great chance to lock those games down. The other thing I think, you know, it's not even June 22nd yet. It's not summer. If this was later in the year, I could understand that. But I think if they can put together 6 out of 8, 6 out of 9, 7 out of 10, something like that, and do that a couple times, I truly believe that they can possibly get back in this thing. I think they're talented enough to do that. I think they have a few young players that are come up now and starting to perform a little bit. I've always been a Polanco fan. I can't figure that scenario out. I think that chip shot to right field, the Clemente wall there, should be really welcoming to him. But for some reason, it hasn't happened. But I think it's just a little bit too early to quit on them. I really do. I think that, like I say, you lose 8 out of 10 or 8 out of 9, it's a tough blow, and then you lose 7 in a row, that's another tough blow. But if you can put together, you know, 10 out of 14, which I think they're capable of doing because of the closure, the point that you made, and because Williams is coming back, I think it's too early right now maybe to sell off.
Jim, what do you obviously Josh Bell had a month of May that arguably it was one of the greatest months in baseball history. I mean, was compared to Mays and Aaron, and he's cooled off a little bit from a home run standpoint in June, but 65 RBIs in 71 games. What do you see as a difference with him this year versus last year?
It's such a mental game. I think you see it with relief pitchers all the time. You see it with players all the time. You know, that's why you never know when you make a trade or you gamble on a free agent. You never know exactly how it's going to turn out. Last year, people were trying to figure out what's wrong with Bell. This year, he's the talk of baseball. And but I think everybody knew that he was potentially an outstanding hitter, even though he had the off year last year. I think most baseball people felt that he would bounce back, and he certainly has. And he's just a pleasure to watch. I mean, he's centering the ball all the time. He's putting a good stroke on the ball. He's turning on the ball when he needs to. He's staying on the ball the opposite way when he needs to. He's just in one of those grooves right now that when good hitters get in that groove and they get that confidence going, they're hard to stop.
This kid Brian Reynolds has come up and taken advantage of some opportunities, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done a very good job for him. You know, the thing with that, you see this happen all the time. You know, can you withstand the adjustments that other teams make? There's a lot of guys, and I'm not saying that he's one of them, but there's a lot of guys that come up here, they make a splash, and then all the teams, you know, sudden teams start to adjust to him. So it's an ever adjusting game of baseball. And if he makes the adjustments, once they adjust to him a little bit, he's going to be fine. He's done a great job for him.
Jim, what the Chris Archer trade just hasn't worked out yet. I mean, what do you see when you look at Archer? I guess Joe Girardi was on with the morning show the other day and said even when he managed him against the Yankees, he said we'd wait for him to make a mistake. And he's given up like 17 home runs in 12 starts. Is it just a matter of location with him, mistakes? What do you see?
Well, his stuff is certainly plenty good enough. I had him in the World Baseball Classic for a little bit there. And his stuff, he's always had really good stuff. I think that sometimes pitchers get too proud of their stuff and they think that they can just throw it anywhere and get away with it because their stuff's so good. And in the big leagues, when you don't locate the ball and you leave the ball in the middle of the plate, I don't care how good your stuff is, a lot of these better hitters are going to get to it. I think that's what happened. I think he almost likes his stuff too much. And instead of making, you know, maybe making pitches or taking a little off, putting a little on here and there, because this guy has all kind of talent. There's no question about that. But I do think that, you know, he's leaving too many balls in the middle of the plate, and I think that's a lot of times because you think your stuff's so good, you're just throwing it, and you think that they're not going to hit it. Well, that doesn't happen up here.
My guest is former big league manager Jim Leland. Jim, I want to talk a little baseball at large with you. Are you still working in the commissioner's office?
I do. I still work with Joe Torre, you know, with the commissioner, and you know, do some things when Joe calls me and asks me to do some things, but yeah, I don't do a whole lot, but, you know, I participate in some conversations. And, you know, when Joe calls me once in a while about if a team had a brawl and the fines and suspensions or something like that, we have conversations. And once in a while about rules and different things like that that they're talking about. So, you know, I participate. I'm not, you know, I'm certainly not at the head of their class. I'm kind of low on the totem pole. But I do have some conversations with them, and I have a great relationship with the commissioner.
Jim, you mentioned the brawls, and the Pirates and Braves didn't exactly have a brawl, but they're mad because Joe Musgrove was thrown out in the first inning. That Donaldson didn't like the way he was looking at him. Musgrove, you know, I don't know if the umpire overreacted by throwing out both guys or shouldn't have thrown out anybody. The Pirates called Torre and moaned about it. Your thoughts on what happened there and the way it was handled?
I don't think Musgrove should have been thrown out of the game. I really don't. I don't think he should have been ejected. Now, when I say that, I think, you know, because of what happened, I don't think he should have been thrown out. Now, if there was some conversation he had where, you know, he was using some unfriendly language or something that we don't know about or anything, well, I don't really know about that. Did he call the umpire name? Was he out of line that way? I can't answer that. But just for what happened, I do not think he should have been ejected.
Jimmy, you've always taught me, and I remember this very early on in our relationship, you said, always respect the game. And that was always something that was important to you. What do you think of the bat flips, the walking slowly to first base, or, you know, a guy like Chris Archer, moonwalks on the mound and the stare downs? Do you like it? Is there a place for it in the game? And what is the solution, if not?
It's funny you mentioned that because I saw Dale Murphy on MLB yesterday, and surprisingly, you know, he's a veteran player that was a low-key guy that was a great player and never did any of that stuff. But he thought it was kind of exciting. He thinks it's okay for the players to get excited. He thinks maybe it's good for the game. He thinks maybe the game needs it. I think it's okay for the players to get excited as well. I don't particularly like it. I've had some guys over the years that did stuff, so I'm not going to throw stones at somebody else. Here's what I said. In fact, I just had a conversation with Joe Torre about this a month ago when he called me about this very thing. And here's my opinion on it. I recommended that you get together with the managers and the players and let the players and the managers decide, is this all right or not? Because my problem with it is one guy flips the bat for one team, nobody says anything about it, it's not a big deal. Somebody does it for the other team, they want to drill somebody. I disagree with that. I think we should get the players and the managers together and say, listen, this stuff's going on. You guys want it to continue, because if it's okay for your team, it's okay for my team. Let's get this straightened out. What's okay, what's not, and let's go from there. So I think they should put that on the players and the managers. How do you guys want to handle this? Because somebody loses any player, let alone some star player down a stretch of a pennant race, because of something silly like this, they're going to be upset. So I think they have to nip this in the bud and say, okay, fellas, this is acceptable, so let's forget about it. Somebody flips the bat on you, we don't do anything. We flip the bat on somebody, they don't do anything, let's play baseball. I think that's fine, but I think you have to come to some kind of happy medium where you decide, and I think the players and the managers should make that decision.
Jim, I think some common sense has to be used too, doesn't it? I mean,
that's what I'm trying to say now, really. I think
we've seen guys get hit in situations where there's not a chance in the world you'd be trying to hit somebody, you know, put on the winning run, whatever it is. And other times when a guy will hit a home run, the next guy they'll throw behind him, and you know what he was doing. Isn't some common sense required too?
I agree 100%. And I think sometimes when a guy gets hit, I think, you know, his first reaction is, you got to remember something. He may get a little upset and make a gesture or something, not so much because he's really mad at the pitcher, but because it hurts. I mean, all of a sudden you get hit right on the elbow. It doesn't feel good. So I think sometimes people react because of the pain. And I don't think that they're necessarily upset at the pitcher. They didn't necessarily think he threw at him, but they might be, just because they're upset and the pain and everything, they might say something, throw the ball over or something. So sometimes stuff like that starts. So like you said, I think the best point is use common sense.
Jim, do you like where baseball is now? The home runs seem to have just been taken over the game. I thought I saw something about it. How many guys are on pace for 40 home runs? You saw the other night the Phillies and Diamondbacks set a record with 13 home runs in a game. And one of the places you manage was Colorado, and you know how easy runs are scored there. San Diego, Colorado set a record for a four-game series, 92 runs, 131 hits. Charlie Blackmon had 15 hits in four games, and the games took over 16 hours. Is baseball in a good spot?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I like the home run. I have no problem with the home runs. Here's what I have a problem with in baseball. The two biggest culprits for me in today's game are five-inning starting pitchers and the amount of strikeouts. The strikeouts are not okay. Are they okay for Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, and some of today's big home run hitters? Yes, they are. But there's too many guys in every lineup, little guys that can't hit home runs, that are swinging for the fences. I think it's bad for the game. I don't think we're utilizing what we're supposed to do to try to actually win the game. You know, there's guys in every lineup that set up the big guys, and I think we're not setting those guys up anymore. The little guys are swinging the same as a big guy. A lot of times these little guys, they swing like a big guy and hit like a little guy. The big guys swing like a little guy and hit like a big guy. There's a big difference, and I can't stand the fact, one of my pet peeves is when they talk about the starting pitcher went five innings, well, he gave his team a chance to win. If you notice, bullpens are starting to get whacked around a little bit because they're using them so much. So I'm totally upset with five-inning starting pitchers. Your best bullpen is a seven-inning pitcher. Seven-inning starter, 6 2/3. That leaves you use your bullpen because you want to, or because you can, because you want to, not because you have to. I think that makes me sick. 100 pitches every night in five innings, that's not a good performance. And they're acting like these starting pitchers gave their team a chance to win. That's one of my real pet peeves, plus the strikeouts. It's not okay for all guys to strike out. There are situations in games where you have to execute something to help your team win that game. And my point is that they talk about RBIs not being important, but yet if you watch every manager, I'll guarantee you, 95% of the time when a manager loses a game, if it's a relatively low scoring or normal game, 7-6 or 5-4, whatever it may be, their first comment after the game is, we had our chances, we couldn't get a big hit. So RBIs are important. Some RBIs overrated? Sure they are. But RBIs are important. If you look at the Yankees, they just went out and got Encarnacion, another RBI guy. So my pet peeve today is the amount of strikeouts and five-inning starting pitchers. That's my two biggest culprits of the game today. I think it's bad.
Talking to Jim Leland, a former Pirate skipper here on the Cook and Joe Show. Jim, you like shifts. What do you think about them? And did you see what Matt Carpenter did last night? Hits a home run his first time up, because he can do that. Again, come up later, hit a bunt perfectly down the third base line. The pitcher kind of dogged it a little bit. He turned a bunt into a double.
Yeah, well, I think the shifts, I think there is something to the shifts where they do take away some hits. However, it's also misleading. There's a lot of cases where a ground ball is hit to the guy in short right field, and they say he hit right into the shift. That's not true. If the second baseman would have been playing the hitter dead pull, the ground ball would have been right where he is when you play a guy dead pull. I heard some of the commentators. I think baseball's getting carried away. I heard commentators in the last 3 weeks, guy hit a two-hopper, left-hand hitter to the first baseman. They said, well, he hit right in the shift. No, he didn't. He hit right where the guy's been standing for 120 years. So I think it's overrated. And I think that the other thing I tell you about the shifts, if you watch this, I've seen a lot of teams lose games because of the shift. And the reason I say this is they give up an extra out in an inning because of the shift, you get what would be a routine double play ball, but because of the shift, nobody can get to second in time to cover the base. They only end up getting one out, and now somebody hits a gapper, and they win the game. So the shift, there is something to it. I'm not saying there's not, but I think you've got to be careful with it, and I think it's overrated.
Couple more minutes with Jim Leland here. And, Jim, I see next year baseball's – I don't like fundamentally changing the game, but I guess sometimes you do. Next year the relief pitcher's got to face three batters. I guess they're trying to speed up the game, unless it's the end of an inning. But if you bring in a guy in the middle of an inning with one out, he's got to face three guys. Do you like that?
No, not at all. I don't like it at all. I think they're taking some of the strategy away from – the manager. I also think as a manager in an organization, you're supposed to do whatever it takes to win the game. I totally disagree with that. I don't think it's a good rule at all. I think that it is to speed up the game. I understand that. People, that they don't want as much downtime. I don't like that at all. I can tell you this, in my personal opinion, and it sounds corny and people laugh at me, but I can take minutes off the game if they just stop waiting for the hitter. It's not the pitchers holding up the game. It's the hitters. They're standing over the on-deck circle waiting for their walk-up music. They're fooling around with the donut on their bat. They're fooling around with their batting gloves. A guy hits a ground ball to short, the guy on deck should be walking the home plate. Something's got to happen. I mean, it's either going to be an error, it's going to be an out at first base. If you just sped up the game by making the hitters get up to the batter's box, I suggested this, they laughed at me. Play their walk-up music, their first at bat, and then don't play it the rest of the night unless it's a guy that pinch hits. The guy that hadn't been in the game, play his music. That's fine. But don't play it every at-bat. Just get the game moving by getting the hitters in the batter's box and let's get going. You will save more time that way, in my opinion, than you will with the relief pitcher, and you're not messing with the integrity of the game. Because in my opinion, when you force somebody to have to face hitters, and you're taking the strategy away from the managers, and you're giving your team less chance to win the game, in my opinion.
Jim, I appreciate it, man. Did they have walk-up music when you played in the minor leagues or not?
No, but when I managed the Pirates, they had walk-out music. They wanted to be gone. So. But anyways, no, I mean, listen, it's a great game. I love it, and they can do what they want, and I want to support it. I know it's 2020 next year, and I know you have to make changes and adjust with the times, but I just don't think that particular rule is a good rule for the integrity of the game.
Jim, I appreciate it as always, man. Are you going to be at the ballpark the next couple nights?
I will be. I'll be down. I'm headed down there right now.
I'll look forward to seeing you. Thanks, Skipper. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.